This is Community Conversation. I'm Dale Gartner, and on the program, we're going to be talking about the fact that January is Human Trafficking Awareness Month, and I'm happy to have on the program to talk more about that Laura Schultz-Pipas, the Executive Director of the Monroe-Lenawee County's United Way. Laura, welcome back into the program.
Oh, thanks for having me, Dale. It's always great to chat with you.
Well, it's always good to have you on the program, and this is such an important topic to be able to remind people about, and that's why the United Way of Monroe and Lenawee Counties wants to bring more awareness of, don't you?
We do, and actually the National United Way, human trafficking is one of their issues that they try to promote awareness of it, and I've been involved with the local Lenawee Anti-Human Trafficking Coalition for, 10 years.
Wow, that's great.
And I co-facilitated with Sister Pat McDonald. She is from the Adrian Dominican Sisters. She's a licensed professional counselor, and she's traveled the world working on women's issues, so she's just wonderful. And I've been a part of the Monroe County Coalition, Anti-Human Trafficking Coalition, for 12 years, something like that. So it's definitely an interest and a passion of mine to let, you know, promoting awareness of it. And people think it happens like somewhere else, Dale, like it comes the borders and other countries, but it happens in every country, in every state of the United States, and every county.
And there has been a couple of examples of that happening right here in Lenawee County too, right, Laura?
Yeah, these are, you know, I tell people that usually people know, people that are susceptible to human trafficking are vulnerable. It could be youth, it could be developmentally delayed adults, it could be, and I could talk a little bit more about that, but in these two cases, it was youth. One was in Adrian, it was a few years ago, and runaway youth in particular are vulnerable, and this is a young lady who was kicked out of her home, was homeless, and a couple took her in, and they started trafficking her, saying, you know, we provide you room and board and this kind of stuff. And so, and that one was successfully prosecuted. The couple was successfully prosecuted. That doesn't always happen because of the nature of human trafficking. Victims are afraid to come forward. And sometimes the justice system, it's a system. So it's hard to navigate for victims of, you know, human trafficking, domestic violence, sexual assault can be difficult for them to move through that. So they don't always follow through with that. But this one was a successful conviction. And then there was another case in Tecumseh a year ago in December where, and this is an issue for young people, you know, to be aware of what you're doing online, parents be aware of what their kids are doing online. This is a young lady who met someone online, thought it was a teenage boy, and somehow the parents found out, they got the police involved, and she was supposed to meet this young boy, quote, young boy. And it turned out when the police got there, it was an older adult male.
Ah.
So we have to be careful. So this stuff happens. I mean, those are two examples in Lenawee County.
Yeah.
But usually it's somehow in their sphere of influence, somebody they know. It could be, and somebody asked me, who are the most vulnerable? I already mentioned runaway or homeless youth, anybody with unstable housing, somebody with mental health concerns or substance abuse concerns, I've read of instances where developmentally disabled people that are vulnerable, and if it's in labor trafficking, it could be somebody that also is a recent immigrant and came to this country to work, but they take away their papers, their ID. So it's all about force, fraud, and coercion. So this is, you know, it's a power and control issue. So we have to be careful about vulnerable people. And it could be somebody in their own family or sphere of influence who may be grooming them. And also there's a very good example of a lady named Teresa Flores, and we've had her come to Adrian a couple times in the last 12 years or so. And she has a story. She's from Birmingham, Michigan, which is an affluent community, but she thought this young man was a boyfriend. Mm. And he ended up drugging her. He says, we'll stop at my house. I have a Coke. He drugged her drink, took compromising photos, and they blackmailed her for up to 2 years. with sex trafficking.
Oh, my.
The only way she got out of it was because her father was transferred to, had a transfer job to the East Coast.
Oh, my goodness.
And she wrote a book about it, The Slave Across the Street, and she has a second volume of that. She does a lot of work in the human trafficking field. She's a licensed social worker. So that's her story, too, and I recommend people read about that, too. So it's there.
Yeah.
It's here. It's there and it's here.
Well, the thing is that, you know, it's to make people a little bit more aware of the possibility of that happening. And if they should suspect something, what's the best way for people to let some authorities know about it then, Laura?
Well, in our local coalition, both Sheriff Troy Bevere and Adrian Police Chief Vince Emmerich have been a part of the coalition for years. So they and they teach their teams about what to look for. And so you can call the local police departments. There is a national human trafficking hotline through the Polaris Project, and that is 1-888-373-7888. And look up Polaris Project. So they keep, so that's a hotline. You also have in each community, you have a domestic violence sexual assault center, and we have Catherine Cobb.
That's right. Yeah.
And you can call them because they're used to, unfortunately, domestic violence survivors, sexual assault survivors, there could be trafficking involved.
Mm-hmm.
They know the nuances of it. And these are, as trauma, human trafficking survivors are traumatized, and it really takes special counseling to work with them.
Yeah, yeah.
Because sometimes, you know, whether they were tricked into it by a would-be boyfriend, or sometimes traffickers use other young women to groom, you know, bring in other young women, befriend them, that kind of thing. So people just need to be aware these things could happen.
You also are making this awareness through the area schools too, aren't you, Laura?
Yeah, we certainly offer to come and talk to schools, and especially the online piece of it too. And as kids are getting out and being independent, even driving, you know, going different places, talked about what we offer a presentation to the schools, and we have worked with some local schools. And by the way, we always work with the principals and the counselors, and we get signed permission, you know, from the parents to talk about this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a good thing. So we're definitely willing to talk to any group that wants to know about it. Sister Pat does a lot of presentations in the community, and people just call me at the United Way at 517-264-6821 or email me at lpipis, that's LPIPIS, at unitedwaymlc.org. And we can arrange to have a speaker, Sister Pat. And we have some other folks locally that help us with those things, their local coalition, too. We just want people to know about this. And there's some myths that we talk about, and I should mention some of those things. And then I'll talk about what people can do.
Good.
Some of the myths are people said it's always or usually a violent crime. Once somebody's in that situation, they're being groomed, and it's forced fraud and coercion. They could be on a substance, and they keep them on a substance. There's ways that they keep them in line, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
But it's sort of that Stockholm syndrome where then they defend their trafficker,
yeah,
type of thing. All trafficking, the other myth is it involves commercial sex. It's there's also labor trafficking, you know, I mentioned. People are susceptible in each community. And it says it only happens in illegal or underground industries. That's not true. Only women and girls can be victims and survivors of sex trafficking. That's not true. Could be male, female, all ages, and all income levels, really. I mentioned about Teresa Flores, that she was from an upper middle class affluent home.
Mm-hmm.
And her parents, and they threatened to tell her parents, her priest, they threatened to kill her dog. There's ways to keep them in line.
Yeah.
And it doesn't, people think it happens elsewhere, but it happens here.
Yeah, so. It sure does. That's why it's so important to make this aware and make more people aware about human trafficking. Because like you said, Laura, it doesn't just happen elsewhere. It can happen right here in our own backyard, in our own hometowns, too.
Yeah, yeah. So just look, you know, look the some of the signs are look to see if somebody's acting different. And I have a friend that was at a restaurant, not locally. I think she was on vacation or something, but she noticed there was a young girl with an older gentleman, and they were at a restaurant, and she was, you could tell that she wasn't doing anything unless he approved of it.
Ah.
You could tell by the behavior.
Yeah.
And so she went out and called the police, you know, let them know what she suspected. There's also a universal sign that Sister Pat and I learned about. If you hold your hand up, all five fingers, and you fold the thumb underneath the fingers,
mm-hmm.
tuck it under the fingers, that's a universal sign for help.
Ah.
So.
That's good to know.
Yeah, yeah. So you can look that up, too. But that's a universal sign for help. So if you see that, then basically if you see something, say something. Call the police. Call the. It's best to call the local police. They're trained in this stuff.
Right, right.
People ask, what can we do? What can we do? Well, get educated is one of them.
Yeah.
Right? And I think it's helpful to seek out, we're happy to come and talk to local groups and learn more about it, teach people about it. And the biggest thing I tell people is mentor, in your sphere of influence, mentor vulnerable youth. Probably the vulnerable youth are probably probably their home life is not that great. I'm also an ACEs trainer, which is adverse childhood experiences. You learn about how some kids live in homes, their home life is traumatic. They deal with trauma, so they might be more susceptible to that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have a chance, the antidote to that is having positive adult role models in their life.
Right.
Get a chance, please. And I have to tell you that the local Adrian Boys and Girls Club does a great job of providing activities and support and tutoring and all kinds of stuff. That's a great place for kids to get positive reinforcement. And that really helps build their resilience to be a successful adult.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Laura, if they would like more information or they would like to have a presentation made, again, let's remind the listeners about the fact how they can contact you.
They can contact through the United. We also have a Facebook page, Lenawee Anti-Human Trafficking Coalition. So you can look it up there. And I post whatever updated stuff we have going. But you can call me at the United Way at 517-264-6821 or email me at lpipus@unitedwaymlc.org. And Sister Pat and I will be happy to try. Sister Pat does a lot of the presentations in the Adrian area.
Mm-hmm.
She does a great job. She has traveled around the world. Done a lot. She's even presented at the UN.
Oh, wow.
In New York. Yeah.
That's awesome.
All over about women and girls issues.
Yeah.
She's an expert in that kind of stuff. And the Department of Homeland Security has the Blue Campaign. There's a lot of really good information on their website, too. You can check that out.
Great. Well, thank you so much for being on the program once again, Laura. Always look forward to talking with you. And this is such a great thing to be able to remind people about that January is Human Trafficking Awareness Month. And like you said during the interview, is that if you see something, say something too. And that's so important, isn't it, Laura?
Yes, yes. If you're not sure, call it anyways. Like I said, our local law enforcement, they in the Michigan State Police as well, they know the signs.
That's right.
Know what to do. Yeah.
Well, I know we're going to be talking with you in the future about, because of the fact that the United Way is celebrating its 100th anniversary, as well as the health check in the spring is coming up as well. So we'll look forward to be able to talk to you more about that as well, Laura.
Yeah, I always look forward to telling you more about what we're doing, Dale.
Thank you so much. My guest has been Executive Director of the Monroe-Lenawee County United Way, Laura Schultz-Pipus. I'm Dale Gartner, and this has been Community Conversation, and we'll talk to you again soon.